turn to the book of 1 John as we continue in this series. And this morning, we're talking about the assurance of our security. Now, it seems like if you were secure, you wouldn't need assurance. But it's been my experience that a lot of Christians walk and they have a little bit of doubt in their minds about different things. And John recognized this when he wrote this, and so he put this down to encourage us, to help us, to enlighten us, if you will. Because you see, we have an adversary. He stands in opposition to anything that stands with God. And he can't have the Christian soul. You know, once you've accepted Christ your Savior, your soul is sealed. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But he can't have your soul, so he tries to ruin your life. He tries to ruin your walk. He wants to create doubt. You know, he goes after our minds. And make no mistake about it, the battlefield is in your mind. When you have Satan on one hand and the Lord on the other, there's a battle going on in your mind. Should I do this? Should I do that? Is this right? Is this not right? I want to do this. Can I get away with it? You know, those kind of thoughts. The battleground is in your mind. And he wants to create doubt in our mind about what God's Word says, about what God has done in your life. He wants to create doubt. He wants to render us useless to the kingdom of God. You know, if he can destroy our walk, then, you know, he maybe can't have our soul, but then he can rest assured that if he messes us up, we're not going to go into his kingdom and invade and people get saved. Okay, people accept Jesus. That won't happen if we're messed up. And so he knows that. And John has been giving us truth. We've been through the first couple chapters. We're just ending chapter 2 here. And he's been instructing us about our relationships, challenging us to grow in our walk. And now he's reminding us of the security that we have as God's children. And so we're looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 29. What you have heard from the beginning must remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. I have written these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. The anointing you received from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as he has taught you, remain in him. So now, little children, remain in him so that when he appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. And so we're going to look at some things here. Things that John is giving us security about. He's telling us we can believe this, and we know we can believe it because it's in his word. It's in the word of God. And the word of God is truth. And so you can bank on it. You know, a lot of times we have things that we think are right, but if you think something's right and then you read something different in the Word of God, you better rethink what you're thinking. And it's just really that simple. You know, it's not about asking God to line himself up with us. It's about us lining ourselves up with God. That's where it's at. That's where the power is. That's where the joy is. That's where the fulfillment is. It's when you line up with the Lord. And so we're going to look at this first one. Verse 24, we have a secure fellowship. We have a secure fellowship. What you have heard from the beginning must remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. That word remain in this version that I read, it's really kind of, I don't like it. It is a accurate word, but the words I like better that the same Greek word means is abide, continue. If you continue, dwell. If you dwell with the Lord, if you stand with the Lord. This is talking about finding out about God and lining yourself up with Him. And that's how you stay in fellowship with Him. It's just like a husband and wife living in the same house. You're dwelling together. You know each other really well. And if the husband moves across the street or moves across the country, the wife goes with him. And you know what? We're the bride. We're the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And if Jesus says, you know what, we need to go this direction, then the church ought to go with Him. That's just, you know, part of it. And if we dwell with Him, if we stay with Him, if we continue with Him, we will have fellowship with Him. But if He goes and we stay where we are, where's the fellowship? Does that make sense? You know, it's just, we have a secure fellowship, but it is conditional. It says, what you have heard from the beginning must stay with you, must continue with you. And it's like that song, one of the songs we sang this morning, the old story. You know, those that know it the best still love it like the rest. That's the beginning. You know, for the Christian, what's the beginning? The beginning is the gospel. The beginning is Jesus Christ. The beginning is His death, His life, His resurrection, His payment of sin on our behalf, that we could have fellowship with God, that we could have relationship with God. And that relationship is secure. It's secure. Through Jesus Christ, we can know God. That's how we know Him. We can know God. He said, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. Okay, that's how we know who God is. That's how we know what God thinks. It's His Word. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the secure fellowship that we have. What have we heard from the beginning? The gospel. That's the beginning of your walk with God, folks. You know, I didn't care much about God before I heard the gospel. And even when I heard the gospel, before I accepted the gospel, I didn't have, I mean, I believed in God, but that was it. Didn't live for Him. Didn't try to find out what He thought out of His Word. Didn't try to line myself up with Him. I had a way I thought was right. I had a way I thought was good, and that was the way I was going. But the beginning for me was when I humbled myself and said, I can't do it without You. That was the beginning. And from that point on, there was fellowship. And, you know, sometimes the fellowship's a little closer, and then sometimes, you know, our humanness gets in the way of our fellowship a little bit. But we stay sons and daughters. That part doesn't change. We have a secure, though, fellowship. When you stay with Him, when He moves, you move. When He leads, you follow. You're in fellowship, and it's secure. And you never have to doubt it. We have a secure promise. Verse 25. And this is the promise that He Himself made to us, eternal life. Now, let me tell you something. Eternal life is the only life that God deals with. Do you ever read anywhere else in here where He says temporary life? It doesn't say that. John 3:16, right? Famous verse. That you may have eternal life. That's the life God talks about. That's the life that we have. When you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. It is not a life, you know, if you had life today and then next week you lost it, was that life eternal? No. It only lasted a week. Eternal life is exactly what it says. It's forever. It never goes away. And it's secure. And it's not secure because I hang on to Him. It's secure because He holds on to me. Because sometimes my hand gets tired. And I can even let go. But if He's got a hold of me, I still don't go anywhere. it's secure because it relies on His grasp on me, not my grasp on Him. That's what makes it secure. And it's the only kind of life God offers, folks. He's not a temporary God. He's not a God that changes from one day to the next. He's consistent. He's eternal. And when you have the Lord and the Lord has you, that's eternal also. And you can rest secure in that promise. That is the promise He Himself made to us. Eternal life. Third, we are secure from deceivers. Verse 26. I have written these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. In your version, it may say seduce you or lure you. That's what the world does. It tries to seduce us. It tries to deceive us. It tries to lure us into those that way of thinking. There were those who were, you got to remember, in John's day, just like in our day, there were those that were denying that Christ was who He said He was. He said He was God. He said, I and my Father are one. And some people say, well, He didn't really say that. Really? Then why did the Pharisees pick up stones to try and stone Him? Because He was saying He was God. And the Pharisees did that. They picked up stones. And the Bible says it wasn't His time, so He just kind of passed through them. That must have been kind of cool. I'd like to have seen that. But there are people then, and there are people now, that work on Christians and say, oh, you know, the Bible's a fairy tale. This God that you claim to serve is not real. I mean, that's very big in our culture today. That line of thinking is very, you can be your own God. You know, all these things are luring people away from the truth. But if you stay in the truth, you're secure from deceivers. You know, if somebody says something to you, check it out in here. This is truth. And if it differs from what this says, dismiss it. It's not real. It's not right. It's a lie. It's deception. And He says, I've written these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you about eternal life. Don't let anyone deceive you about salvation. That's what He's saying. All these other, you know, the previous two chapters that we've been looking at, all these things, don't let anyone deceive you. And the way you keep from being deceived, you stay in the truth. You know, the old illustration they've used forever, you know, bank tellers don't study counterfeit money. They handle real money all the time. And then when counterfeit comes to them, they recognize it. Why? Because it's not real. They've become so familiar with the real, any flaw stands out to them. My challenge to you is, know this so well that any flawed thinking, any flawed philosophy will stand out to you. And you'll go, oh, no, I dismiss that. That's not Bible. And I'm sure that's probably happened to you from time to time. Somebody will say something, you know, God helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that one? People say, oh, it's in the Bible. Really? My Bible doesn't say that. That's a really nice thought. You know, it's a really nice sentiment. It just simply isn't in the Bible. And so because that's what the devil does. You know, he takes things that seem right, but it's twisted a little bit. And that's what he did with Eve, right? He went to Eve and he said, did God say you can't eat of this fruit? And Eve says, well, yeah, He said that. And He said, don't even touch it. Oh, really? Well, God just did that because if you eat it, you'll be like Him. You'll know good and evil. You'll be just like God. And her pride, I want to be like God. took the fruit. The rest is history. Gave it to her husband. He ate it. Now we got all kinds of problems. The bottom line is there's been deception from the beginning, and the devil will take something that God said in his word and twist it just enough to mess you up. And so you need to know what is real so that when the counterfeit appears, you know it, you recognize it, and you aren't deceived. You aren't deceived. And so you can be secure in that. He's written these things because people try to deceive you. So be in this book. And when, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, nobody has got this thing memorized, okay? Nobody does. But if he, you know, if something hits you and you're not sure, then ask somebody. And we'll get to that. In fact, it's the next one. We are secure in the truth. Verse 27. Because he says, I've written these things in verse 26 to you about those who are trying to deceive you. The anointing you receive from him, from the Lord, remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as he has taught you, remain in him or continue in him or dwell in him. That same word keeps coming up. This anointing, the word is charisma in the Greek. You know what it literally means? Smearing on. Talking about oil. And smearing on. And oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. When they were anointing people with oil, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's the type of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And it's talking about charisma, anointing. He says, you have the anointing you receive from him remains in you, dwells in you. When we talk about receiving Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit moves in. Let me ask you a question. Are you smeared with him? Are you covered with him? You know, you don't get any more of the Holy Spirit than you got when you got saved. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you got the Holy Spirit and you got all of him. Okay? You got it all. The question is, how much of you does he have? That's the question. We tend to hold back. God doesn't hold back. We tend to hold back. But this smearing on, referring to the Holy Spirit, we have God himself confirming truth. When somebody says something that just the Holy Spirit will, and it's not right, or he's trying to deceive you, Holy Spirit will kind of, you know, you'll get this doubt in your head. And you'll go, man, that does, something doesn't ring true with that. And maybe you can't put your finger on it, you know, maybe, but man, there'll just be this unrest in your spirit. Are you listening for that? Are you sensitive to the Spirit? You know, the Bible says in another place, don't quench the Spirit. You know, there are people that can just do all kinds of things that are just simply wrong, and they don't feel bad about it. Why? They've quenched the Spirit. They've put it down so many times, they don't recognize it anymore. They don't recognize when God is trying to tell them something. They've been living their own life their own way. And then the Holy Spirit tries to say, oh, that's not true, but you don't even hear it. You're not sensitive to it. But we have God, and he says, we have God confirming it in us. And he says this, you don't need anyone to teach. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need teachers. We do need teachers. We have Sunday school teachers. I teach from this position right here. It is a form of teaching. It's not that you don't need teachers. What it's saying is you don't need someone to tell you that something's wrong. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, he's going to let you know. Now, maybe you can't put your finger on it, and you might have to go ask somebody and say, you know, I just don't feel right about this. You know, what does the Bible say? I've had people ask me that, and I'll say, well, you know, especially if it comes to my mind, I'll say this, and otherwise I'll say, let me look it up. Because you know what? I don't know every little thing about every single topic either. But I will say this. If you have a doubt, when you're determining, you know, I'm either going to do this or this, and your flesh wants to do this, but there's something kind of, and you actually have to go to somebody and say, do you think this is okay? If you have doubts like that, that's probably the Holy Spirit telling you it's not. And that's just kind of a rule of thumb. And it's better to err on the side of not going off into something than it is to go out there and then find out it was wrong. Because there's a price to pay, folks. There's consequences to our actions. But the truth is what keeps you secure. And the Holy Spirit is truth. And when you hear something that's not right, something goes on. Little light comes on, little bell rings. Says you better check that out. Then you better check it out. We need teachers, but the Holy Spirit confirms or refutes what we are being taught. Make sense?
Amen.
We are secure at His coming. Verse 28. So now, little children, remain in Him. There it is again. Live in Him, dwell in Him, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We are secure at His coming. It says, doesn't say if He appears. It says when He appears. There is no doubt He's coming. There is no doubt. He will return. Bible tells us bodily. It's not going to be, you know, something we have to guess at. He is bodily returning. He left physically. He was a physical man at the ascension. He told the disciples, he said, look, you know, go out into all the world, you know, spread the word. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, othermost parts of the earth. Share it. Do it. Go. And then he left. And they're all standing there watching him. That must have been cool. You ever think about that? All of a sudden, the guy just levitates. And he's human. You know, he's flesh. He's solid. He weighs. You know, he weighs 150 pounds or 200 pounds, whatever, however big he was. And he's going up. And they're standing there watching this, and he just keeps going, going, smaller, smaller. And then he disappeared, and they're still standing there. Then a couple of angels come, and they go, what are you looking at? The same Jesus that just went out, he's going to come back exactly the same way. He's bodily coming back. When he appears. And here's the question. See, here's the question. There is no doubt that Christ is coming back. There is no doubt. You can look at this world and realize this thing's got to end somewhere, right? I mean, you know, it's got to. So there's no doubt he's coming back. Bible tells us all about it. Mentions it many times. But here's the question for us. Here's the question for us. When Christ does return, will you be bold before Him or will you be ashamed before Him? That's the question. So that it says, remain in Him, dwell in Him, okay? So that when He appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before Him. This is talking about our walk, folks. This is talking about what we do in everyday life. If He was to come right now, if we right now heard the trumpet go and we're like, wow, what's that? And we run out that door and here He comes. Based on what's going on in your life right now, are you going to be like, You know, come on down, you know? Or are you going to be like, you know, because you got stuff. You got stuff you know you should have dealt with, whether it's behavior or an attitude or whatever. You got stuff. You ever, you know, like little kids when they're busted, you know, and you're dealing with little kids, you gotta take your finger, you know. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Because they're ashamed. They've been caught. They know they did wrong. And you have to lift their little chin. Look at me. You know, I used to tell my kids that. Look at me, you know, because you want their attention. But when we're ashamed, you know, we don't want anyone to see us when we're ashamed. But when you dwell with him, when you continue in him, and I'm not saying you're perfect. We're not talking about perfection here. But we are talking about when you know that Holy Spirit, remember the one we talked about a little bit ago, and he's given you some commands, some signals, and you're ignoring them? That's what we're talking about. I knew I should have done that. I knew I should have made it right with that person. I know I should have started doing this, or I should have stopped doing that, but I just kept on. Now here he is, and now it's too late for you to do anything. Now, are you still saved? Absolutely. It's eternal life, folks. It's eternal life. But you're not going to be real thrilled. You know, it's just like when I'd be in trouble, and Dad, you know, Mom would always set us on one side of the hutch or the other. It was two chairs on either side of the hutch. And if you were in trouble, Mom made you sit in the chair till Dad came home. And I know I used to come home from school, and sometimes both my brothers, one would be on each side. I just love that. I would hang around and wait for that, you know. Because it was fun to watch them get in trouble. but sometimes I was in the chair, you know. Sometimes I was in the chair. And Dad always rolled in. I believe it was like 4:20 or something like that, you know. And man, the closer. And you could, and the way those chairs were positioned, you could see the clock in the kitchen, you know. And you just sit there, and that hand would just keep coming towards 20 after, man. And the closer it got, the tougher it was to sit there. But Dad was coming home. And when you heard the car pull into the carport, it was judgment day. Yeah, it was time for judgment. And punishment that went with it, because you knew you were guilty. Mom wouldn't have you there if you weren't guilty. And you could deny it, but he was going to believe Mom. You know, it didn't matter what you said at that point. But you know what? When I wasn't in trouble, Dad would come home. It wasn't a problem. You know? Wasn't a problem when Dad came home. What will you be? Will you be bold and be able to... You know, I was bold when he came home and it was them sitting in the chair. I remember I'd hang around because I was 10 years older than them. So, you know, I was in high school. They were in elementary school. Normally when I would come home, I'd change clothes or dump my stuff off, whether I jump on my motorcycle. You know, I'm gone, man. I ain't hanging around the house. But when I saw my brother sitting in the chair, I had things to do around the house those days. And then when Dad would come home, I would boldly go into the kitchen. Hanging out, man. I want to see what happens to these guys, you know? I want to hear what happened. Because I'd ask them sometimes. I'd say, what'd you guys do, you know? They'd tell me, and then I'd make it even worse than it was. I'd say, oh, man, Dad's going to kill you. You know, I'd say, man, you guys are crazy. But I could boldly hang around the kitchen and wait for Dad because I wasn't in trouble. Will you be bold or will you be ashamed? And that's something we all need to think about. It's something that, you know, I believe, you know, if you love the Lord, and I believe everyone here loves the Lord, you don't want to disappoint Him. You know? You don't want to disappoint your father. You don't want to disappoint your mother. You want them to be pleased with you. I mean, that's, I think, you know, we want that deep inside. And so we need to think about, you know, just ask God. You know, God answers, you know that? Just ask Him in your quiet time. And if you don't have a quiet time, you need to have one with Him. And just say, God, what is it You would have me change? What is it that's not pleasing You? If you dare ask Him that, because I guarantee you He will answer. Because some thought will come right into your head. I have experienced it many times. The thought comes right in your head. And it's like, now, okay, you asked, I told you, what are you going to do about it? And some things are harder than others, and I understand that. I understand that. But He wants us to grow. And He wants us to grow closer to Him and stronger in Him and look more like Him, which is really the next one. We are secure in our birthright. Verse 29, if you know that He is righteous, then you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. Born of Him. Listen, we should look like our Father. It is just that simple. Those that are truly His children do what is right, and when they don't, and many times we don't, Spirit within us convicts us, and we will ask His forgiveness. We'll ask Him to forgive us. We'll seek His favor. We'll ask Him to forgive us and restore us and reconcile us, restore the fellowship. Listen, you cannot deny your Father. You look too much like Him. You know, I used to say that. I remember when I was growing up and we'd go up to West Virginia. My family comes from West Virginia. I was born in West Virginia. But all my aunts and uncles and cousins, my grandparents were all in West Virginia. We lived in Florida. And so we come up every summer. And my aunts and uncles, and they would see me and they go, man, you cannot deny your mother. That's what they would say, because I look like my mom. Praise the Lord, because if I looked like my dad, I wouldn't have any hair. But all that to say, you know, I do resemble my mom. And they say, you could not deny her if you wanted to. I mean, you know, you could just see. You can just see your parents in you. And as Christians, you can't deny your Father. We're supposed to look like Him. That's where the word Christian came from. Christ-like. And of course, it's not the physical resemblance. It's the spiritual resemblance. It's the attitude resemblance. It's the behavior resemblance. That's what it ought to be. That God is our Father. And He loves us. And the Bible's telling us, it tells us that He is busy conforming us to the image of His Son. Was it Antioch? They said this is where they were first called Christians. Because they were doing things that was just like Jesus, just like the Christ. And they said, man, these people are just like Him. They're Christians, Christ-like. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you're His child, and you should look like Him. whether you're male or female, young or old, you look like him. So that's what it says there. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. That's the security of your birthright. You look like your father. You belong to him. Bible tells us we were adopted into his family. We're joint heirs with the Son. We have a great inheritance awaiting us. But when you go to get that inheritance, you're going to be bold, or you're going to be accepting it kind of in a shameful way. That's really the question. But what's great about it is we can have security in all these areas. God has provided that for us. You know, so many times in serving God, we kind of get off the focus that we should have. Sometimes we could be doing good things, you know, preaching or leading music or singing or teaching a Bible class, Sunday school class, or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, we can be doing those things, but we kind of do them with doubts about stuff in our life. And God does not want us to have doubts. He wants us to be very secure in our position with him. Very secure. When our adversary tries to use fear or doubt to undermine our confidence, we need to remember that our confidence is not in ourselves, but in the Lord. It's not about you. It's about him. If it was my strength, if I was operating in my strength, I'm in trouble, folks, and so are you. It's in his strength. It's in his faithfulness. The victory won at Calvary has secured our place as his children, our future in eternity, and the fate of our adversary. You know, that's, my wife said to me the other day, you know, we were talking, you know, that the judge Scalia passed away. And he's a very conservative man. And so now our president will be naming, you know, or recommending someone to take his place. And you know that's not going to be a conservative person for the Supreme Court. And she said, you know, it just seems like the other side is just winning. And it does, doesn't it? It just seems like every law that's passed, every single thing, it just seems to fly in the face of what we believe. But the fate of our adversary, who is the author of all this stuff, is sealed. I read the end of the book, folks. He's toast. He's already defeated. It's just time. It's all it is. It's just time. And when God's time is right, he will dispose of the adversary. It's just that simple. You know, I love the one part in Revelation where the adversary's out there and he's gathering all this stuff up and all this stuff. And it's going to be this huge thing. And then God just goes, and it's done. I mean, it's not even a battle. It's just over. Who can stand against God? I mean, but devil in his pride thinks he can. But his fate is sealed. The victory has already been won at Calvary. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, your future is secured. And the fate of our adversary and all that line up with him, that's secure as well. Rest assured, regardless of what happens in this life, no matter how... Do you think it looked bad for those Christians when they lived in Rome? You know, we think we got it bad here. Think about Rome and what they were living under. Being crucified all over, being lit up like torches. Families, deny Christ. No, feed them to the lions. Children. We think things are so horrible now. This is nothing. And yet, the word just went forward and forward and forward. They've tried to stamp it out so many times, the adversary has, and it just continues and it goes forward because you can't beat God. He is God. The fate is determined. The fate is determined. Because the Lord has assured us of all these things, we can be secure as we serve Him in this world. As we serve Him in this world. And a verse. What did Jesus say? I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Listen, you're not going to have peace with the world. You have peace with God. In fact, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Because when you side up with God, you are immediately at odds with the world. And with anybody that's a part of the world, which could be your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, could be anybody, your neighbors, whoever, relatives. Anybody that's in the world, there is immediately this division there. He says, I have told you, though, that you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. But be courageous. I have conquered the world. There's our confidence. And it's not us that conquered it. It's Him. Amen. It's Christ conquered the world. Now, will we have suffering? Absolutely. I mean, every one of us has suffered. Every one of us has gone through things that we wished we hadn't. We wished it hadn't occurred. But this is temporary. This passes quickly, oh, far too quickly. It seems like it was yesterday I was bringing my son home from the hospital, for being born. And it just seems like you blink your eyes and now they got kids. And now I got some of those grandkids are driving, driving to my house. I'm like, really? They let you in a car? Really? But the time flies by. It's so temporary. It's so temporary. But what God has given us is eternal. That's where you rest your hope. That's where you place your faith. That's where the confidence is. That's where the peace is, folks. That's where the fulfillment is. It's in the eternal. You work and you serve in the world with your eye on the eternal. Because that's the lasting thing. The money you've made, the things you've bought, the experiences you've had, these are all temporary. But that which you do for the Lord, that's eternal. That's those treasures that Jesus said we need to put in heaven where it doesn't get corrupted. It lasts. We are secure in Christ. Man, just praise God for that. Praise God for that. The assurance of our security. We should not serve God looking over our shoulder, wondering where we're at with God. If you've accepted Him, you are held. You are firmly in His grasp. The Bible tells us anything that He has in His hand, no man can pluck Him out. You can't even pluck yourself out. We're secure. So we should walk as if we are secure. Our walk in this world, the things that we do, they should reflect the fact that we are secure in Christ. And anything less than you're playing games, you're letting Satan play games in your mind, that kind of thing. And you just tell him to get out. Bible says what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. you resist him. Don't buy into it. Bible says, take every thought into captivity. You know, when that thought comes in your head, examine it. Is this thought from God? Or is this thought from somewhere else? If it's from anywhere else, it needs to go, folks. You need to say, get out of here. Leave me. We are secure in Christ. That's the great promise. Our security, so that we can serve in the midst of a lost and dying world and be successful. And it's his success through us that makes the lasting fruit. So I don't know where you're at today. This is, a message of assurance of where we're at and what God has done. But if I know Christians, because I know I've had them too, I've had doubts, I've been attacked, I've had things come into my head that I've considered and those kind of things. But God is faithful. He carries you through it. If you seek his truth and apply it to your life, you'll conquer that. He said, I have conquered the world. I have overcome the world. Those things that come in, they are already beaten. It's just up to you what you're going to do with it. Might be someone here today that maybe you don't have confidence. Maybe you've never asked God to forgive you. You've never admitted to him what he already knows and what you already know, that you're a sinner, that you've messed up. But if you ask him to forgive you, ask him to save you, ask him to take you to heaven when you die, he will. All you got to do is ask sincerely and humbly. Are you placing your confidence in what Christ did on the cross? Or are you placing your confidence on what you're doing in this world? Because there's a whole lot of people that think they're working their way to heaven, and their confidence is in what they are doing. And that's the big difference between Christianity and everything else, is that we do our works because our home is in heaven, because we've been forgiven. Others are doing those works trying to get into heaven. But the Bible is true, and the truth in the Bible says we are not saved by works, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so we don't get there by working our way there. We get there through faith in Jesus Christ, and then we do works to please the Father and to expand the kingdom. That's what we do. And maybe you've never prayed that prayer. Bible says today is the day of salvation. I hope if you have never asked God to save you, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, I pray that this would be that day. For the rest of us, are we letting fear and doubt kind of mess with us? Are we letting Satan kind of put some things in there to undermine our security, to undermine our confidence in what God has already done? Are we doing that? Do we have one eye kind of on the world while we serve, instead of just trusting that God's got that under control and we're just going to do what he's asked us to in our little part in this whole picture? Are we doing that? That's the things we need to ask ourselves. And like I say, you just ask God where you're at. He'll reveal it to you. He doesn't want you in the dark. He's a God of light. He wants you to recognize where you're at and do something about it. Trust him. Start doing it his way. That's all he asks. He'll empower you. He'll enable you. So you can have every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask a question. I just want people to be able to respond without any fear or any discomfort. Anybody here today say, I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I've never asked for forgiveness. I've never never accepted Christ as my Savior. Is there anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I'd love to pray for you. Anybody like that? As far as I know, everyone here is saved. I hope that's true. I pray that that's true. For the rest of us, anybody here dealing with some fears or doubts? Anybody like that? Got fear and doubt, and I know it's not a God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. I saw that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. God bless you. How many here would say, you know, I should feel more secure than I do. I've just kind of lost some confidence. Anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. Wow, I see those hands. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for just being honest. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, I ask you, Lord, to just do a mighty thing in the hearts and minds of us here. We here today, Lord, that many raise their hands, Lord, that, you know, Satan has been kind of attacking, and maybe we've made some bad choices that's taken us down a road that we know we shouldn't have gone. Lord God, I pray that you would manifest yourself in a powerful way within every person that raised their hand, Lord, and every person that knows they should have raised their hand. Lord God, I pray that you would restore them, that you would give them truth, that you would encourage them and help them to look like you, Lord, that we are your children and that we would behave and do the things that would please you. Lord, help us to focus on you instead of the world and ourselves. May our eyes be on you, seeking to please you. Lord God, I pray that we would act upon what you have put in our minds this morning. And I know that if we do that, you will be glorified, our lives will be better and more pleasing to you, and your kingdom will grow as a result. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This time is yours. If you need to respond, if you need prayer, if you want to talk to me, or if you need to do business with God right where you sit, this is the time for you. Don't let this moment pass you by. This is your time. Be wise and use it wisely. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the word that you have given us, your word, the word of God that has truth that we can rely on, that we can have confidence in. And thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides and leads us, Lord. May we, may you have more of us because we've got all of you, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord God, thank you that you have equipped us to actually prosper in this world spiritually, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the adversary's work. Lord God, you have given something to us that cannot be undermined and cannot be turned aside. It's the strength of your Spirit. Thank you for that. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for what you have done on our behalf through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for without that, we are all lost. Lord God, thank you for your love, your care, your provision, your truth. May we indeed look more like our Father each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.